of 2 Thessalonians for some time. And on Sunday morning, I've been expositing through the book. And we've already covered 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We've covered them in the last two Sunday mornings, so I won't go back and reiterate those two verses, but I thought I should at least read them before I get to verse 17, because they're all interconnected. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. What does that really mean? And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We covered that in a single message in intricate detail. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. For the last couple of Sundays, we've talked about what good hope is and how everything is by grace. If we forget that everything is by grace, the good hope, the good faith, the good love, if we forget that's all through grace, we make a very serious mistake. Sometimes after we're saved, we forget that everything is by grace. Everything. There are no exceptions. Anything that's good is by grace. Verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There's a principle that's involved in life that's very, very important. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and truth. How do you do that? Well, there's a big difference between ignorance and stupidity. Stupidity is to be looked upon as very undesirable and a very bad thing. Ignorance is something that's just a question of not knowing it. I was born some 70 years ago. I was born physically. All of you here were born at some time, and you were born physically. You were ignorant of your mother's name. You were ignorant of your father's name. You were ignorant of what one and one is. Matter of fact, you were ignorant of everything except being hungry. And whenever something happened inside you and you got hungry, you went, "Wah!" Now that's pretty basic, but that's the truth. So how did you learn your mother's name? Well, you needed to know it. You learned it. Why did you have 12 years of compulsive education pushed on you? Because you physically needed that education. There are a lot of people that can't read and write. They were never taught. They're not stupid. They're just ignorant. There are lots of people in the world that are ignorant. That's just because they've never learned. They've never been taught. All of us are ignorant about a lot of things. For instance, Jimmy Ellis is an excellent electrician. And he knows all about how to put these wires and stuff together and how to put these boxes up and everything. I'm ignorant of how to do it. I'm not stupid, but I'm ignorant. I don't need to know how to do that. God's provided someone in the church to do that. And I'm thankful for that. Don Johnson is an excellent gardener. Betty is an excellent gardener. They learn how to grow things. They can do all sorts of things. They belong to the garden club. And they're very good at what they do. They have a great knowledge of it. I don't know anything about growing stuff. I learned how to plant taters and corn and stuff. But I don't know what they know about it. I'm not stupid. I'm just ignorant. We have to learn physical things in order to be able to perform physical functions. And if we don't, We're ignorant of them. This transfers over into the spiritual world, and it transfers over dynamically. When I first came into the world and I was physically born, I didn't know anything. Except there was the one that gave me birth, and I was breastfed. And there is the one that I got the milk from. Didn't know her name, but I knew her. And I liked her touch, and I liked her talking to me in baby talk, and I liked the milk she provided from her breast. That was my first gaining of knowledge after I was physically born. The real problem today among God's children is that a lot of them have been spiritually born, and they know that Jesus gave them the birth. They've learned that. And they've learned when they're in trouble to run to Him and to ask Him to help them and to pray to Him. And they've learned that He loves them and He won't forsake them. They've learned that. But they're absolutely spiritually ignorant about anything else. The first thing I ever knew about Mom was that she loved me. I could tell that by the way she took up for me, the way she touched me, the way she smiled. I could tell she tenderly and gently loved me. And the more I got to know her, the more I got to understand her, and the more I got to respect her, and the greater my love for her grew. Some people never get to know Jesus. Oh, they know Him as Savior. They've been born again. But that's as far as they go. Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason. You go along the path in life, you're lost. And here you go. You get saved. Hallelujah. All that's behind you. Now you're saved. 50 years later, you die. Somebody asks you, are you saved? You say, yeah. But you never really got to know Him after He saved you. I was physically born in 1932. And Blyulene McElmurray was my mother, and she will always be my mother. But suppose I had been whisked away, I would never have known her. But she's still my mother. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now, some 58 years later, I've really gotten to know Him. And there's a whole lot more to learn. That's what this is talking about. And how are you going to establish yourself in every good work and grace? How's He going to comfort your heart? How are you going to stand fast in all this if you don't know Him? I don't mean a Savior if you don't know what He's all about. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And most people, after they get saved, somehow, because they feel it's a sense of duty, work the church into their busy schedule. They work it in because it's their duty. But they can't wait to get out. And if you try to teach them about Jesus, they say you don't have the Spirit, you're not spiritual, and you need to be on fire for the rest of the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how can you stand fast in what you don't know? When the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, here's what's talking about. How are you going to know what good works and good words are? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Now let's look at 2 Peter 1:1 through 8. Here's the way you grow in Christ. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of people go that far. They get saved by grace through faith. They recognize Christ as their Savior. They know God has imputed His righteousness to them. They have obtained the like precious faith because by grace through faith they have been saved. That's what that's talking about.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But they don't pay attention to this next verse. They're spiritually ignorant. They're spiritually ignorant. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. They don't want multiplied grace. They don't really want to understand it. They never have any peace with God because their just life is one big system of running from one problem to the next. And there are real problems in their life. They get so caught up and tied up in life, they never do find the peace that's in Christ. They never do come to understand the grace. And they're ignorant. They're not stupid. They're ignorant. Just like if you take a child out of its mother's womb and put it out in the desert somewhere, it's completely ignorant of the rest of the world and what goes on. It never has any training, doesn't go to school. It's not stupid. It's just ignorant. And there are a lot of spiritually ignorant people walking around saved outside churches, and there are a lot of spiritually ignorant people in churches. According as his divine power has given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how do you get all those things? How do you establish yourself? How do you stand fast in the faith? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You go to church, you learn about yourself. And you learn about yourself by learning about Christ. And there's so much to know about Christ, it's absolutely amazing. I've been trying to figure out a lot of things for a long time diligently, and I know very little about him, but I know a lot more than most of you. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God gave you a lot of precious promises. When you're physically born, they keep telling you in high school, now you've got to get an education, you've got to get an education. If you go out in the world and you don't have an education, you're going to be in trouble. You've got to get an education, you've got to get an education. And they give you these exceeding great and precious promises. They say, if you'll get an education, you can get a good job in the world. You'll amount to something. If you'll go on to college, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And they give you great and exceeding precious promises. So sometimes people respond to that. And after they do it, maybe they get those great and exceeding precious promises. But God promises this, and God always gives what he promises. That by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. How can you partake of the divine nature if you don't know what the divine nature is like? And the divine nature is Jesus Christ himself. How much do you know about Christ? How much do you understand about Christ? How much confidence do you have in Christ? Are you spiritually ignorant? And is this just something you work into your busy schedule whenever it fits your pleasure? Our churches are filled with spiritually ignorant people. I didn't say stupid. And those people outside the church that are saved are even more ignorant than those that are in. But some people sit on a church pew most of their life and they remain spiritually ignorant about the marvelous grace and the wonderful peace and the joy that exists in Jesus Christ because they never do actually get to know him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God gave you great and exceeding precious promises so you wouldn't be spiritually ignorant. So the word of God could be taught to you and so you could understand it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's past tense. When you got saved, you escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You have an incorruptible seed inside you. Now, what does it mean to establish in every good work and word? What does it mean? It means to add to what you already have. When I was born physically, that's all I knew. Now I know one and one is two. I know what the Coriolis parameter is. It's 2mv omega sine phi. I know what the hypsometric equation is. It's df over dg equals minus 1 times rho g. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, you're spiritually ignorant of it. But that's fine. You don't have any need for it. I did. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we learn things in order to proceed in life physically. There is no excuse for stupidity. But really, down deep inside, the only excuse for ignorance is an unwillingness to learn it. You've been saved. Now you need to find out about the one that saved you. That's what this church does. That's why it's here. It teaches people about Christ. It teaches people about who he is, what he's doing, what he has done, and what he'll do in the future. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. I've preached this so many times, you know it backwards, forwards, and sideways, so I won't do it again. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance godliness, brotherly, and to brotherly kindness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you come before the judgment seat of Christ, are you going to be barren and unfruitful because you were spiritually ignorant? Because you went to a church that gave you 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and high hole silver? Are you going to be spiritually ignorant because all you knew was Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, and Jesus is coming? Are you going to be spiritually ignorant about 95% of the Bible because all you ever heard was 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and high hole silver away? No, you're not. And that's the reason a lot of people have left this church. And that's the reason others will leave it. It's because we don't just preach salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus is coming. We preach what 95% of the Bible is about. We preach those three things and believe those three things, but we preach what 95% of the Bible is about. And that's learning about Jesus and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the more you know about Him, the more you understand how gracious He is, the more understanding you become of life, the less questions you have to ask other people about it, and the more questions you can answer for other people who are spiritually ignorant. You say, well, you keep calling us ignorant. I'm ignorant too. There are lots of things I haven't learned about the Bible. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I'm trying. And the more I learn about Christ, the more I like Him, the more I love Him. Now we're going to talk about some things here. And all that I just talked about was to set up for this. Because there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that give a lot of people a lot of trouble. And at one time they gave me a lot of trouble. But I'm not ignorant about them anymore. And I want to share it with you this morning. You're walking along in life. Your life's behind you and you're lost, 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 lost. All of a sudden you get saved. Okay, right there. The instant you got saved, if you died, you'd go straight to heaven. That instant. The instant after you got saved, boom, you're heaven bound. For many people, it would have been better if the Lord had taken them right then and carried them into heaven. Because from here to that door, they've got a life to live. I was saved 58 years ago. I've lived that 58 years. Suppose I had turned around and completely stopped going to church, completely stopped worshiping God, turned into an A1 ungodly jerk, and lived like hell for the rest of my life. You'd have gone to hell! No, I wouldn't have gone to hell. You say, that's not possible, Brother McElberry. That's because you don't understand grace. That's because you say you understand grace, but you don't understand it. There's a choice. And I got to make it. And that door there represents the rest of my life, and I was saved 58 years ago. Don't tell me that I couldn't go the other way. Don't tell me that I can't live an ungodly life after I'm saved. Don't you dare tell me that. You say, well, Brother McElberry, it doesn't make any sense at all. Either you believe in grace or you don't believe in grace. Make up your mind. Either grace is grace or it's not. These scriptures I'm going to talk about this morning have to do with from right here when you got saved to right back there. Suppose from the time I got saved until the day that I died, and suppose I'm going to die today, and who knows, I may. 58 years wasted. 58 years of living like a pig. 58 years of living an ungodly life. And I die. It would have been better if God had taken me right here, the moment I got saved, than to go ahead and live that life. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, that means you'll go to hell. No, it doesn't mean as such. It means I'll be in heaven. And it means I'll have no reward, and my whole life will have been wasted. Now make up your mind. You either believe in grace or you don't. Because you have to believe in grace to understand what I'm going to show you here this morning. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
I don't think you have any problem in understanding that this is past tense, that God wouldn't give exceeding great and precious promises to lost people, and that you can't be a partaker of the divine nature unless you have the divine nature by the new birth living in you. And this is past tense, having escaped. He said, you've already escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You're a child of God. He said, now add to your faith virtue. But now let's take another look at the scripture. 2 Peter 1:4. Let's stay in the same epistle. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, here I am, 58 years ago, escaped the pollutions that are in the world, standing right here, with a life to live ahead of me. They are again entangled and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Where was I? Where were they? They've escaped the corruptions that are in the world. They're saved. This is their beginning. The beginning of my physical life in this world came when I left my mother's womb. The beginning of my spiritual life came the instant I was born again by Christ. That's the beginning. The latter end is worse than the beginning. If God had taken me right here 58 years ago and carried me into heaven, I wouldn't have to come before the judgment seat of Christ and stand there and explain a wasted life, a life of spiritual ignorance. I wouldn't have to explain it. So it would be better if God took you when you were first saved than to have let you go ahead and play out the string. Back here we talked about stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, 17. And establish you in every good work and word. Remembering that principle, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, I got saved 58 years ago. Gloriously saved right here 58 years ago. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to continue to learn about grace and how wonderful Jesus is? Am I going to continue to learn the things that he had put in his book? Am I going to concentrate on it? Do I want to know more about him? Or am I going to turn back around and go right back underneath, believing I can lose my salvation? Going right back underneath the yoke of bondage that I came out from under. Having been set free by Jesus, am I going to live the rest of my life believing I can lose my salvation? Am I going to be miserable while I wait to go to heaven? Or am I going to enjoy my freedom? Galatians 3:1-3, same epistle. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye thy spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith. Here I am, saved, 58 years ago. There's my life behind me. There's my life in front of me. Are you so foolish? I received the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. I didn't get saved by the law. So why should I turn around and go back underneath it and have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ for my lack of faith in Christ and confidence in Christ? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? A wasted life. You've got people sitting in churches that teach you can lose your salvation that are saved. But they've gone back under the yoke. And they're miserable because they can't make up their mind whether Jesus is enough or not. And it would be better if God had taken them and killed them. And taken them to heaven the day they got saved. Take a look now at Galatians 5:6-9. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That's of the flesh. I was physically born 70 years ago, spiritually born 58 years ago. And he tells them, but faith which worketh by love. How can you love a Savior
who after he saves you from eternal damnation in hell, stands there with you like a yo-yo, and you go into hell, back up hell, repent, re-backslide, rededicate your life, go back to the Lord, get saved again, and he stands there with a yo-yo, yo-yoing you up and down into hell for the rest of your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is not faith which worketh by love. I serve him because I know he keeps me by his power. And I serve him because I'm a dirty, rotten, miserable, ungodly sinner in the flesh. And don't you ever think you're anything else. Because if Paul was the chief of sinners, don't you look down your long pointed nose at other people and say, well, they're sinners and I'm not. We're all ungodly, wretched sinners in the flesh. Some of you may not have come to understand that. You may not be willing to accept it. That's because you're spiritually ignorant. But because Jesus is so marvelous and so wonderful, my faith works by love. If I wasn't a miserable, ungodly, wretched sinner in the flesh, if Paul hadn't said he was the chief of sinners, I could never understand what grace really is. And some of you have lost sight of what grace is, and you're not grateful enough to God for what you've got, and you're beginning to think you have some righteousness of your own. He did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Well, what do these people need to do in these churches that teach you can lose your salvation? Get out of them. And get in a church that teaches and preaches the truth. Understand how free you really are. You got saved. God meant for you to go forward loving him for keeping you by grace. But you go backwards. Because you will not put your faith and confidence in the one that saved you. It'd be better if you had died and gone on to be with the Lord, then continue to the end of your life in a false religion. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But there were false prophets who also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. You can go to 90% of the churches in this town right now, and you've got men standing up in the pulpit that are false prophets from the pits of hell and don't know the Lord. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it, because they're misleading the people in those churches, telling them they can lose their salvation, and that's a false, ungodly heresy. And they keep them in church like a yo-yo. They have to keep running back and rededicating their lives, getting resaved. All this mess. It's ungodly. They're false teachers. They're false proclaimers of the Word of God. I will not stand up here and say they're okay. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And they're here. And this is the last sheet. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Loss of salvation and the teaching that you can lose your salvation. It was the first damnable heresy that it came into the church. And I bow before God and stand before man, knowing I must answer at the judgment seat of Christ. And I tell you that if salvation is not by grace, then I'm going straight to hell. And I tell you without any hesitation whatever that any man who teaches you can lose your salvation is teaching a damnable heresy. I don't care whether you call him reverend or father or whatever you put in front of his name. He's teaching a damnable heresy. Even denying the Lord that bought them. The price was the blood. The price was the flesh. It's complete. It's total. He said it is finished. To teach otherwise is a damnable heresy. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. They're going to end up in hell. Because they really believe that. And most of these preachers standing up in these pulpits that teach loss of salvation, they're lost as a goose in a hailstorm and headed straight for hell. It's the people out in the church that get saved, that they mislead, who are living in spiritual ignorance, and they need to come out of it. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Lord knows, most of the churches in this town are following it right now. By reason of whom the way of truth should be evil spoken of. They say, what do you mean you can't lose your salvation? What do you mean that you can't go to hell after you've been saved? They are spiritually ignorant. You say, you got to be baptized and a member of this church to go to hell. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. And I'm going to tell you who these people are that stand in these pulpits wearing these beautiful suits and just letting Jesus' name roll off the end of their tongue like honeysuckle rose odor. They're wells without water. clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from those who lived in error. Many of the people in these churches get saved because they put their faith in Jesus, repent of their sins, and ask Jesus to save them, and they're right here, where I was 58 years ago. And they get saved. And they're clean escaped from all of those who are lost, who live in error. They're genuinely saved, and they stay saved. But they are living miserable lives, because they keep on teaching them this false doctrine after they're saved. And they sit there and listen to it year after year. And these men that teach them that are not of God, while they promise them liberty, it's not liberty. They've never been set free. They themselves are the servants of corruption. These preachers that teach this and believe it never were saved. And they mislead those who got saved and get under their teaching. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And they said unto these false teachers, and they overcome them with their teaching and doctrine, and those little lambs that got saved that belong to God sit there in abject misery. For if after they have escaped it. Here's that expression again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What is the beginning? The beginning is when you're spiritually born. And there you are. If you die, you immediately go to heaven. But after you get saved, you've got a life ahead of you. In many cases, it would be better for some people who are going to live lives either still under the bondage of sin, living and going to false churches, or living, and I say this reverently, like hell for the rest of their lives. It would be better for them if God took them right there at the beginning when they got saved and carried to heaven, so they wouldn't have to answer for a wasted life. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled then and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. 58 years ago, I'm standing right here. And I keep going back to this because all of you, at some point in your life, you stood right here. That was the beginning. Then you were taught the way of righteousness. You were given his righteousness. It was imputed to you. You were saved. Then he began to show you the way he wanted you to live. Don't think I've forgotten where I started, because that's where this is all about. Comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. Stand fast. That's what God's been wanting you to do ever since he saved you. And you've got a choice. You can't know the way of righteousness if you're not willing to take it out of this book. And if preachers won't teach 95% of what's in this book, it's the way of righteousness after you got saved. And if all you ever hear is salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus is coming, he just keeps telling you over and over again, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. He won't leave you, he won't forsake you, Jesus is coming. And they preach those three things. People love to hear it. Who wouldn't after they're saved? But there's a lot more to this book. There's a way of righteousness. Then after they have known it, you get saved. You begin to be taught the way of righteousness. You don't like it. You don't like to hear about it. You don't like to hear messages like I'm preaching this morning. You don't like to be told that you're spiritually ignorant. You don't like to hear it. You don't want to learn anything bad about yourself. I don't want to learn anything bad about myself. So what do? We don't follow the way of righteousness. To turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. God saved you for a purpose. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 58 years ago, right here. Now, let's listen to the next verse. For we are his workmanship, new birth, created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Suppose you don't walk in them. What happens? It would have been better if God had killed you, taken you to heaven, if you go the other way. You don't go to hell. But you're going to end up in heaven without any reward at all. standing there in a glorified body, not given a whole lot to do. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be ecstatically happy that you aren't in hell. But you should sure have been a whole lot happier in heaven. But it has happened to them according to the true verb, true proverb. The dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire. Some people turn around. Some people don't believe this. A man comes down the aisle. He gets genuinely saved. He repents towards God of his sins, puts his faith in Jesus Christ, calls on his name, and gets saved. He's right here. And believe me, we've had a lot. I've seen a lot of this. Bingo, right here. For the rest of his life, he lives like hell, or he gets in a false religion, and the two are virtually the same. And they go back to their own vomit again, back under bondage, living like hell, and a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You say, Brother McElroy, that's talking about a sow, and that person went to hell. No, 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 you don't understand grace. If that fellow went to hell on a genuine profession of faith, then my friend, I'm going to hell too. John 12:49-50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Now here's his commandment. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Okay, I've got everlasting life. I've had it for 58 years. What have I done with it? Well, until I was 38, I sure didn't do much with it. After that, I'm very ashamed that I haven't done more with it. Now, the question that comes up, and it's my prayer before Almighty God, you'll think about it. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. What are you doing with your life right now? Just how interested are you in learning about the things of Christ, learning what he's about, who he is, and the things that he has in this book? Or is this just something you work into your busy schedule? You have everlasting life. What are you going to do with it? Whatsoever I speak, therefore, I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I do. Because salvation is by grace. If you've never been saved, Jesus is only a prayer away. And if you believe that he came and suffered and bled and died for your sins on the cross, that he's alive in heaven today, and will hear your prayer, you can call on his name and he'll save you. And he'll save you completely and forever. Most of you here have already been saved. The first thing he asks of you is to be baptized. That's where you're standing if you're saved and unbaptized. Right where I stood 58 years ago. The first step off the mark is to submit to baptism, because it's a commandment of God. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. And if you are saved and scripturally baptized, how much of your life have you surrendered to Christ? And how much do you know or want to know about the one that saved you? These are questions that you need to think about. As Kay comes, as the song leader and pianist come, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Spirit. What number, Danny?